This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:05 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin, and we're continuing our post-budget 2020 coverage, today focusing on businesses and how they fared in the budget.
And to dive a little bit deeper into that, we have with us Amarjeet Singh, EY ASEAN and Malaysia tax leader. Now, before we move along, if you have any questions, you can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Amarjeet, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
So I think the question that Kelvin was about to ask, yes, and I just wanted to tell everyone, we actually have a poll running up on our Twitter at the moment, which asks whether you think Budget 2020 is a business-friendly budget. So far, 46% say could be better, and that's the leading percentage. 37% say yes, and 17% say no. Amarjeet, how would you assess the business-friendliness of the budget? Would you agree with that layout?
I guess, we always want more than what we get, right? But as I reflect back, purely from, looking at over the last 1 year, there was a lot of feedback, and I think a lot of initiatives were really about, combating corruption, protecting civil liberties, enhancing the governance structure, restoring the health of public finance. I think that was a lot of focus. And people like myself who deal with businesses, who deal with foreign investors coming into the country, I think the question that we were all asking was, what's Malaysia's story in terms of business? What's Malaysia's story in terms of investment? So a lot of these things, really, if you look at the P&L, a lot of these look at the expense side of things, trying to combat corruption, trying to manage the leakages and all that. It's all about managing the expenses. But what about the revenue part? Where do we, how do we grow the economy? And I thought this year, this budget really set out the policy very clear in my mind. In fact, I think the Minister of Finance was probably very smart. I think the first part of his budget speech, he focused about the investment. He talked about the FDIs. He talked about, having grants allocated and also incentives to just do that, right? Grow the economy.
And as you said earlier, people always just want more from the budget usually. For you, what did you want more?
Okay. So I think from my perspective, being a tax practitioner, I think the one ask with a lot of us was about the, having some sort of a credit mechanism or a exemption mechanism on the SST. So today, as the SST system, there is a risk of it having a cascading effect. So, you have one entity incurring service tax, and then when it passes on to the other entity, when that the other entity charges out to another business, you do see a tax on tax. So there is a sort of a limited sort of exemption that is already given for intra-group services. What we were hoping for is across the board. But I guess that requires a little bit more study, because you can't just do the credit side of the SST, but you also then need to look at broadening the service tax regime as well, the SST regime. Yep.
And while we're talking about business, just to hone in specifically on entrepreneurs, as a roadmap for people who are working in, the SME vein, what sort of clarity and direction does the budget offer?
Okay, so firstly, I think the move to increase the ban, which is now subjected to the 17% rate from the first 500,000 of chargeable income to 600,000 income, I thought that was a good move, because more than 97-98% of our business establishment in Malaysia are SMEs. But if you look at the whole budget, the area of focus is really about embracing technology. It's really about encouraging our businesses to adopt automation. I think that really is the sort of the message to the SMEs, that this is something that you need to do, and the government is willing to sort of co-invest. So there are matching grants, there are business loans that are being rolled out as part of the budget proposals.
How much do the business-related incentives lend towards achieving the government's shared prosperity vision?
So I think the shared prosperity vision, you know, the main target is really, if you look at it, it's about productivity related. So it's about turbocharging and to spur sustainable economic growth across the entire nation. But again, you know, I think the incentives for automation, the incentives for knowledge-based services, is the impact. I think is the sort of the end game to help you know, allow everyone to have access to it. And the, you know, the bit about trying to reduce price for broadband access, and I think there's about 21 odd billion in terms of investment that they're looking at from the sort of the whole fiberization and connectivity project as well. So it means basically giving access to everyone, regardless of which part of the country you're located in. I think is in a way you can relate it back to the shared prospective vision.
So there also haven't been new taxes introduced in this budget, except for that 2% increase from 28% to 30% for personal income for people who have above 2 million ringgit. Why do you think that was the case?
Okay, so usually I think, you know, on one side, if you look at the first part of the speech, there's a lot of incentives that are being granted out, right? And you know, it was interesting as we were listening to the speech, we were saying, okay, where's the bad news?
And you that's know, how I felt throughout. Yeah, that was the feeling.
So, and you know, we were a few of us looking, listening to it together, and said, "Okay, it's coming." You know, and really, the only sort of bad news was for the 2,000 odd people that earn an income of more than 2 million. And I think so. Of course, in the speech, it's not mentioned, and my only assumption is the thinking behind this is really about let's grow the economic pie. When you have more businesses in the whole economy, naturally they will then pay more tax. So you don't really need to have more taxes to earn more tax revenue. You just need to have more businesses in the system that will then contribute. There are many, many examples, if I may share. Back in 2010, the UK government then introduced, of course, they sort of pulled back on government spending. They sort of freezed civil servants' pay increase. But on the flip side, what they did was they also introduced and announced that over a period of time, they're going to reduce the corporate tax rate. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things that the UK government did at that time was it was subjected to a worldwide scope of tax. That was their framework. They brought it down to sort of a territorial resource-based income tax, corporate tax regime, right? And when we looked at it from 2010 to 2015, although the rates came down gradually, but in terms of the growth of the tax revenue, when we compared with some of the other European countries, UK had the highest growth rate. And number two, in terms of FDI, from 2010 to 2015, when we looked at about five countries, and I can't remember all of them. I think Germany was one of them, France, and a few others. UK was sitting right at number five. And by the time 2015 came, they were right on the top. So sometimes I think these measures, although may not be I think following the norm, one would think, you know, there's a fiscal deficit, so let's just broaden the entire tax base. I think this government had the guts to say, let's encourage the business. And the more you make it easier for businesses to do their business, that in turn will generate more tax revenue.
In the budget, are there any clear industry winners?
Surely, I think a lot of initiatives being given to the SMEs, but of course with a lot of focus on technology, digital automation focus. So, if you're an SME that is going to continue, you know, operating the way you have been doing for the last 10 years, maybe not a lot, but if you're willing to change. And, you know, adapt technology, embrace digitization. I think there's a lot in the budget.
Having said that, I mean, the world is expected to head into a recession in 2020. I think it is something that has been of great concern to a lot of people. Does the budget kind of address this or take this into account, particularly for export-oriented sectors and the sector that we've been talking about this whole time, the SMEs?
Okay. So, I think, you know, a lot of this is outside Malaysia's control. I mean, if the entire global world goes into a recession, we are a trading nation. We will be surely impacted. But I do give credit, I think, to the government for coming up with initiatives this time around. So there is a big push to try to bring some big investors into the economy. So it was mentioned about Fortune 500 companies willing to invest more than 5 billion ringgit. I think that will have a sort of a multiplier effect throughout the economy. And the SMEs will also benefit.
We're speaking today with Amarjit Singh, who is EY ASEAN and Malaysia tax leader, focusing on how Budget 2020 has fared for businesses. Let us know if you have any questions, particularly if you are in business, if you're interested in starting a business, if you are just thinking about how you can make use of certain allocations. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Business, finance and music. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:18 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin, as well as live in the studio with us, Amarjit Singh, EY ASEAN and Malaysia tax leader, talking about what else? What else have we been talking about since Friday? Budget 2020. This time, focusing more specifically on businesses and SMEs. If you have any questions, you can, of course, call us. 7733 2900 is that number. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
So that's a big push for automation within SMEs, and that's reflected by some of the incentives and grants introduced to embrace automated business operations. How far do you see this going in successfully transitioning us into IR 4.0?
Sure. So I think if we look at, you know, today, what is where we are. So there's a 2017 FMM MIER survey, and it states that only 7.4% of Malaysian respondents to the survey use autonomous robots, and 23.3% of which were SMEs. Malaysia only deployed, in this 2017 survey, just 45 units of industrial robots per 10,000 employees, almost 50% below the global average of 85 units. Right. So I think, if you look at Malaysia, we're not really a low-cost nation. We're not at the high-income nation as well. We want to be there. And we've had 40 years of manufacturing experience. Really, the next leap can only come from the Industry Forward or Industry 4.0. And the critical element in that, it's really about technology. It's really about embracing digitization. And just my observation when I, speak to some of these businesses, maybe there's a little bit of a skepticism and resistance to embrace it. And I think that's why I think the government needs to come in and say, okay, if you do this, we will support you, either by subsidizing the loan or giving you matching grants, things like that. And I think given that it's so low in terms of technology adoption rate today, it's probably the only way to go is up.
Well, actually, along with that, The concept of digital social responsibility really caught my eye when it was announced during the budget, simply because I think we're very much used to seeing another alphabet in front of the SR. It's usually CSR. DSR is a relatively new concept. And that's where businesses get tax incentives if they upskill future workers with digital skills. So in trying to get that adaptation rate up, in trying to get us more prepared, do you think that this will help in terms of readiness for Industry 4.0?
I think it will. So like I said earlier, right, there is a little bit of a skepticism in, will tech, can technology really work? Mm. I mean, we're very used to having, the hands and the legs to do and to deliver stuff, right? And, can technology really work? And, these kind of support will definitely give sort of the awareness. And I'm aware of there are some projects done by some of the government agencies, sort of on a pilot basis, where they went and saw some of the Malaysian companies and said, which is your biggest pain point, for example, in your production line. And I remember one case was about the quality control check was done by, it was done manually. And said, why don't we sort of convert this, digitize it, so remove the person and maybe put some sensors in that quality check and use technology to sort of monitor. And you know, the end result was that company for that particular production line showed a 15% to 20% improvement in terms of costs of production. So just, it was just a pilot project for one of the lines, right? So I think we need these kind of things to sort of spearhead the conversion, the adaption, adaptation to technology.
Now, there's also this part in the budget that provides for customized investment incentives to attract Fortune 500 companies and global unicorns. How receptive would these companies be to coming here? Is this incentive enough?
I don't think the incentives in itself is enough. Okay, and I think we need to be careful in the way we grant these incentives. The one thing I always say, it's about, you know, which kind of investors will require the incentives, and which kind of investors will be in Malaysia regardless. So, if I may just, you know, give you an example. So, if an investor is looking at access to the Malaysia's market, domestic market, and what they want to do is they want to come here, they want to be based here, and they want to basically, you know, either provide a service or provide goods to the domestic market. Really, they need to be in Malaysia. There's no need to grant them any incentives, right? But if you're looking at an investor that is sort of exploring options, you know, is it going to be Malaysia? Is it going to be Singapore? Is it going to be Vietnam or Thailand? Then the incentives do come in play, because there are many different, I guess it's a whole sort of list of things that they will need to look at. And one of it on the top of their radar would be cost. So that's where the incentives come in. But I don't think it has to, you know, it can only stop there. You need to make sure that the entire process is one that is aligned. The infrastructure, the connectivity, the availability of the right talents. And I think the smoothness of implementation, right? So we have multiple agencies, we have multiple ministries looking at things from different angle. Everyone needs to speak the same language. So it's not just leaving it to the investment agency to just grant the incentives. It's the whole chain, right? Making sure that the investor experience is one that is good.
And might the current trade tussles that we're seeing between US and China sweeten the pot a little bit more? I mean, I know that we may potentially be headed towards some sort of deal, but we've heard that before, so we're not sure exactly what's going to take place. But I mean, here in the region, we're not alone in trying to take advantage of what's going on. So are we seeing maybe a potential influx from that?
So in the speech, you know, if I recall it correctly, I think the Minister of Finance did say that our FDIs jumped 97% for the first half of 2019. The one thing that I don't have access to yet, I think the report probably will come a little bit later in the year, is this investment report across ASEAN. And the favorite amongst the bigger ASEAN countries has been Vietnam. You know, Vietnam has been a key beneficiary. So if we look at the 2018 report in terms of FDI into these countries, Singapore is always on the top. And my guess is a lot of these investments are routed via Singapore. Malaysia used to be the second highest. In the 2018 report, Malaysia dropped a few notches. I think it ended up in position number 5, if I'm not mistaken, right? So it will be really interesting to see how, you know, where, when the 2019 report comes out, to see where Malaysia is as compared to, say, Vietnam, Thailand, Indonesia, Philippines.
And I guess we have about a minute for this one. In the news today, there was discussion about Malaysian tech-based startups moving their businesses and operations to other countries like Singapore and Australia. iFlix, for example, they're working towards listing their company in either Australia or New York. Is this a reflection of an unwelcoming tax environment here in the country, particularly for our own companies?
I would say it will be a whole stream of things, not just tax. Surely tax plays a part. And I'll share one example. You know, a couple of years ago, we created we sort of changed the text provision in terms of the rendering of services and the point in time we bring it to text. And advance receipts were brought to text. And I remember one investor that, and it was a Malaysian company that was severely affected by it, and they were already considering moving their business out. So tax has an impact, but I don't think that's the sort of the only factor. Mm. Right? It is about many other things. And I think the ease of listing, the access to market sometimes. So it's a whole gambit of things, a whole infrastructure that we need to work on.
We're speaking today with Amarjit Singh, who is EY ASEAN and Malaysia tax leader, talking about Budget 2020 and how it is doing in terms of business, how business interests are doing within it. Oof, I'm all over the place, but you get the idea. Tell us if you have any questions. You can call us at 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And of course, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back to continue this conversation after the news. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It is coming along to 6:36 in the evening, and you're with Lynn and Kelvin on the evening edition. Also with us, of course, today, Amarjit Singh, EY ASEAN and Malaysia tax leader, talking about how businesses have fared in Budget 2020. Of course, you can send any questions you have through. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
We have this question here from Mr. Liu that asks about the real property gains tax issue. So the 5% RPGT for sale for property after 5 years, the base year of valuation is now shifted from the year 2000 to 2013 for the benefit of the taxpayer. Is this provision already in effect for purchasers who enter into a sale and purchase agreement after the day of the budget, that's 12th October 2019, or is it only effective on the 1st of January 2020?
So based on the budget speech and the appendices that come along with the budget speech, it is in a way already effective. It's for disposals of real property made from the 12th of October 2019 onwards.
Great. Okay. And then we also have a question from Onkar Singh on Twitter, who I think is kind of addressing the bulk of what we were talking about before the 6:30 news, which was the worries about a recession, what there is for SMEs. And they want to know, with the current environment as bad as it is and local SMEs already facing issues, what can we do to withstand the upcoming storm?
So I'm not a businessman, so I may not be the right person to give this advice. But I guess from, purely from the speech and that was made, I think businesses should really look at, the various initiatives that the government has offered, be it grants, be it incentives, and see, where you can sort of plug into the system and get some form of assistance. And I think many times, we don't look close enough. We don't look at the details. I think there's a lot out there that you can. And maybe you need to, sort of tweak your business. And, if today you're sort of heavily labor reliant, and if you can, automate, then there are some of the stuff that you can benefit from.
And I guess besides just the general business environment, we are also seeing something else that may impact businesses coming next year, and that's the minimum wage increase in urban areas to 1,200 ringgit. Will that minimum wage increase impact businesses in a big way, you think?
So first, I think we need to recognize that the minimum wage is not across the nation. Mm-hmm. It's, based on the speech, it's supposed to be only selected cities. And we're waiting for the Ministry of Human Resource to basically announce which are the cities involved. Are businesses going to be affected? Surely. I mean, it's not just the minimum wage, which is moving from 1,100 to 1,200. There are also proposals to the Employment Act. So, for example, today, overtime claim under the Act, it only applicable to 2,000 ringgit. It's now going to move up to 4,000. So if you have employees today that the salary is about 3,000, the Employment Act doesn't oblige the employer to provide overtime, but with this change, they will then need. So the sort of the cost to doing business will be impacted by these proposals, and I think, but this is in line with the government's push, right? You need to reduce reliance on low skill workers. You need to move up the value chain, embrace technology so that your productivity goes up. So the minimum wage needs to come together with an increase in productivity. Then it makes sense.
Having said that, I mean, in the immediate sense, does the budget offer any offset in savings that businesses can or should take advantage of, considering this increased cost of doing business?
So there's the whole, I mean, in addition to the stuff that we spoke earlier about, granting of loans and matching grants, there's also on the employment opportunities front, Malaysia at Work, you're looking at graduates at work, women at work, locals at work, apprentice at work. So there are a lot of incentives that have been given for graduates, incentive for employers to hire graduates or to, for ladies who are not in the workforce, coming into the workforce, you get a sort of full year exemption on your salary. So there are many, sort of a whole list of concessions that are given to help generate the employment.
And those schemes is something we'll touch on in just a moment. But just on this note about minimum wage, the government does hope that it will spur economic growth in rural areas. The understanding being that businesses will want to move there because it just happens to be a bit more cost effective. Do you see that potentially happening?
Just based on my experience, I don't think ₱100 difference is going to move. I can be wrong, but I don't think it's going to. Going to move, say, a major factory plant. Maybe for someone that is coming in new and setting up a green, sort of a new investment altogether, it may have an impact. But I don't think so.
Otherwise, I think there probably needs to be more of a push, right? You need more incentives to lure you out to the rural areas. Yeah. Now, going to that point, you were mentioning initiatives like Malaysia at Work, and there are so many different things that fall within it. Do you see employers being incentivized to hire more youths and more women returning to the workforce? Do you think that this incentive of, is it ₱300 per month over the course of 2 years, will that be enough?
I think at least it will influence a sort of, in the HR policy making to be a bit more open rather than just discount out this category of workers. But how much of that will have an impact, difficult to say.
But do you potentially see the allocation of funds in education and training translating to a more capable and empowered workforce?
So that was the one thing I really loved about the budget. I think the second year in a row, the education sector received the highest allocation. Maybe it may not have an immediate impact. I think the incentives, the grants, the bit about trying to encourage automation, digitization are more immediate sort of responses to some of the challenges that we are facing, or rather the challenges that the business are facing. I think the allocation to the education sector is something for maybe the mid to the long term. It's really about uplifting our next generation.
And speaking of next generation, we're also, I think it's worth talking about the next generation potentially of businesses, the next sector that's coming up, and that is green technology. How much focus has been given within this budget to the development of green tech?
So I think a fair amount. So, green incentives have been there for a while now. It's not something new. So what we heard in this budget is the green investment tax allowance and the green income tax exemption incentives have been extended to 2023. Tax exemptions offered to companies undertaking solar leasing activities and acceleration of energy performance, all of this, there are incentives. So it has been there. I think, and just based on my experience, there are quite a fair bit of takers in this area as well. Yeah.
And just on that note, I guess Shadow Finance Minister Khairul Jamaluddin brought this up. He asked this in Parliament about why there was no direct mention of tackling climate change within the budget. Do you think this is a fair criticism?
So, like I said, I think there are already, the incentives are already there. They were not introduced in this budget. They were introduced in the past, earlier budgets. In fact, it was introduced probably when Khairy was a minister himself, mm-hmm. right? And so when you already have it, the only thing you want to do is to make sure it gets extended. The question is really about Malaysia's response to climate change. And I think Malaysia has made a commitment under the 2016 Paris Agreement to reduce carbon emissions to 45% from the 2005 levels by 2030. The reports basically say Malaysia has reduced its carbon emissions intensity rate to 33%. And according to the ministry, we are on track to achieve the 45% reduction.
We're speaking today with Amarjit Singh, EY ASEAN and Malaysia tax leader, on businesses and budget 2020. If you have any questions, if you own a business, if you are thinking of starting one and you're concerned or you're curious, you can call us at 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:47 in the evening with Lynn and Kelvin, as well as Amarjit Singh, EY ASEAN and Malaysia tax leader. And we've been examining Budget 2020, particularly through a business lens today, trying to understand it a little bit better in more detail. If you have any questions, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, something that we've been talking about quite a bit on the show, because it's come up, is this idea that the government is trying to encourage more young people to get involved in the agricultural sector, offering loans, also saying, oh, you know, there's tech. They're just trying to entice young people over. With its 4.9 billion ringgit allocation, do you see measures that are going to encourage more young people to look into the sector in earnest?
Okay. So my personal view, I think the lack of young agripreneur, if you want to call it that, it, to me, is mainly caused because of insufficient information, and also I think the stereotype perception that the agricultural industry is a sort of a sunset or maybe not as lucrative as some of the other sectors. So I think part of the 4.9 billion that has been allocated, a decent amount should be channeled towards raising the awareness of Agropreneur Muda, a program that is designed to encourage the participation of young people in the agricultural industry. So, organizing of roadshows, seminars, I think it's something that is required to at least change the perception and maybe show some real-life cases of how, some of the agropreneurs have sort of, lifted their living, right? There was something mentioned about an increase of additional 50 ringgit allowances for fishermen or to facilitate crop integration. Personally, I think an additional 50 ringgit is not going to make it. Awareness and maybe a little bit more boost in terms of, helping these guys set up their farm, I guess. Maybe not set up the shop, but set up the farm.
Just in the budget, were there any particular business pockets or communities that might have been overlooked?
Okay, so I think it covered a wide variety of sectors, and to me it was a clear message that the focus is going to be about Industry Forward or Industry 4.0. Certain sectors are very clearly identified, the E&E, the chemical industry, aerospace, and I'm comparing the two documents, the budget speech plus the shared prosperity 2030. So by and large, in line with where the government wants to go, in line with the direction, I think those sectors are covered. Of course, the sort of the labor intensive sectors are going to be looking at this and saying maybe we were not covered, but then it is in line with the overall direction, and that's what you want the policy. You need the budget. You need every sort of action that comes out to be in line with the overall policy direction.
And in line with that, then, in closing, what are some action plans that you would like to see accompanying Budget 2020?
I think the one very clear message that came out is, you know, there's a clear direction in policy. This is where the government wants to go. This is where the government thinks the nation should be moving. And I think all of that is good and resonates with me. I think really the next part is about the implementation. And we need to, you know, a lot of this, it's you've got many different ministries, you've got many different agencies that are going to be implementing this. And each one will have its own role and maybe some kind of a joint task force or a sort of a joint ministerial setup that looks at purely the implementation of, you know, all of these measures. Because it is not just enough to it's not enough to have a good policy. At the end of the we need to make sure that the implementation is smooth as well. So you don't want to have you know, the Ministry of Finance saying something and then the Ministry of International Trade and Industry saying something else, quite the opposite, right? You want both of them to be in sync. And it's just not the two ministries, it's actually across the entire, across all ministries, across all agencies. They need to sing the same song.
Amarjit, thank you so much for joining us today. You've been listening to Amarjit Singh, EY, ASEAN and Malaysia Tax Leader. We've been talking about Budget 2020 and the allocations within it for businesses, SMEs. If you would like to send some thoughts through, you still can. You can always call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.